Voices from the Frontline segment of the 4 o'clock Public Affairs Hour on KPFK, 90.7 in Los Angeles, 98.7 in Santa Barbara. This is Damon Azali, and I'm here with my co-host, Eric Mann. Today we're going to be actually starting off with an exclusive KPFK Voices from the Frontline commentary from my co-host, Eric Mann. And after that, we will be going into some stuff around the election. So our first guest is going to be John McAuliffe, who is the executive director for the Fund for Reconciliation and Development, who is trying to contribute to the movement in the blockade against Cuba. In particular, he'll be talking about how they're trying to put demands on the candidates and on representatives during the election to stop the blockade. Our second guest is going to be Sushma Sheth, who is the organizer from the Miami Worker Center in Florida, and who will be talking about their campaign to get out the vote and do some election protection work in Miami-Dade County, where there was a bunch of people who were disenfranchised last presidential election. And finally, we'll end the show with Triana Stilton, who is the largest Los Angeles coordinator for America Votes, and they're trying to get folks out from Los Angeles out to Nevada to get out the vote out there. So we'll be right back with Eric Mann.
Hi, everybody. This is Eric Mann with my co-host Damon Azali, Voices from the Frontlines. A lot of stuff went on this week. Last night on the 60 Minutes show, Ed Bradley did an expose on the murder of Emmett Till, a black young man who was killed in Mississippi in 1955 when he was 14 years old. I have deep, deep concerns about the politics of this show, and we'll be raising it next week. I just want to get the transcript and get a few of the quotes exactly right. But if some of the folks that saw it, just to tip you off, the particularly abhorrent effort to target black men who were allegedly involved in the murder of Emmett Till without explaining that this was virtually during a police state of slavery, and any black people who were in any way involved were totally in fear for their life with a gun to their head. I thought the show was unfortunately racist and typical of when liberals try to get involved in the civil rights movement, how they mess it up, or I should say corporate liberals like 60 Minutes. Next week I'm going to make that my main commentary. If anyone knows the name of this young black filmmaker who is very good on the show and who is trying to lead the reinvestigation of the Emmett Till murder, if you could give me any contact information, I'm trying to track it down, at ericmann@mindspring.com, that would be great. Let's move on to the elections. The constant ambivalence or contradiction of seeing the grave danger of George Bush and many people who seeing a important issue to defeat George Bush by electing John Kerry, for those who even see that and have argued for that, to still see the laboring contradictions of the Democrats self-destructing as they run to the finish line, so that even their advocates have to try to win in spite of them, it's going to lead to a lot of contradictions now and a tremendous post-election debate. For instance, John Kerry has punted on women's rights throughout the campaign, has been so ambivalent about abortion rights, even though he actually has a pretty decent position on abortion rights. He finally, in the last couple of weeks of the campaign, has come out in favor of clearly stating that he would appoint judges who would uphold Roe versus Wade after waffling on that for about a couple of months. But the problem is that his votes among women are much less than Gore's, and that Bush is not having a majority, but a much tighter race around women. So, once again, the lesson, you take women for granted, you see it as a Democratic constituency, you don't fight for women's rights openly, and then Bush comes in as saying that the big issue of women is keeping the country safe. For months, I and we and many people have been urging Kerry to take a strong stand on civil rights and the black movement. No, no, no. Kerry decided that he was going to so afraid of the white voter that he would almost try to take for granted the black voter. At least Bill Clinton manipulated the black community after he hurt them politically. Kerry totally ignored them. He has zero charisma or zero connection with the black community emotionally. Now he's finding out that Bush has as much as 14% of the black vote, which may not sound like a lot, but last time Bush only got about 7 or 8 or 9% of the black vote. They are really scared, so now they trotted out Al Gore. They're trying to get poor Bill Clinton off his recuperation bed to come out in the last week. But Bush has been talking about faith-based money, which is a code for buying off the black ministers, and focusing heavily on gay marriage. So when you hear Kerry and Jesse Jackson try to counter that, Jesse Jackson, who should know better, apparently, according to the papers, gave a speech in which he said to people in black communities and black churches with John Kerry, do you have better health care? No. Do you have better jobs? No. Do you have better Social Security? No. How many of you have a gay child who wants to get married? And virtually all the people said no. So he said, see, it's a diversion that this gay marriage is not your concern. The issue is economic. Well, two problems, Reverend Jackson. You were once very courageous at the March on Washington for AIDS funding 10 years ago, where you were with all the people around AIDS quilts. If you don't think black people have gay and lesbian children who want to get married, and if you're trying to essentially cater to the conservative black church again by abandoning now what? Black, gay, and lesbian people. This is sort of a level of madness, trying to win the election by running to the right, even Jesse Jackson, who in the past has known better. And then finally, just when we despair correctly of the Democrats' hypocrisy and shooting themselves in both feet, we still have to look at something important, which Erica Teasley said on the show before, and which Damon and I talk about all the time. Right now, the Republican Party, their voter strategy is to deny black and Latino people the right to vote. They're putting challenges out to deny the right to vote. The Democratic Party is out there working to expand the right to vote, and all their election challenges are trying to even finally figure out that felony convictions and other brothers and sisters who have done time need the right to vote. So this is a very important fight, is what I'm saying, and there is certainly a difference there. And finally, for those of us on the so-called left, I've been going around the country doing a lot of talking about the elections. I'm actually shocked that we're still having a debate about the importance of the vote in this country. I mean, forgetting about, debating about whether you should vote for Nader or Kerry or even Bush, there are some people who want to denigrate the whole electoral process. It's such an incredible right. I mean, the Emmett Till murder, to go full circle, was part of sparking a civil rights movement that broke with slavery and broke with the poll tax and broke with the murdering of people who were registering to vote, like Goodman, Schorner, and Cheney, getting people the right to vote. In India, the poor have outvoted the rich in India and are a potent force for potential progressive change. Throughout all of Latin America, in the recent Hugo Chavez election, there was a big headline, poor women, low-income women, led the actual voting by going door-to-door in the middle of the night to get people out. And here the left in the United States is still debating, and I would say primarily, if I have to say, the white left, but not all. That is to say, not all of those who have this position are white, still arguing whether or not the vote is important. And we're never going to go to the left of the Democratic Party if we can't even validate people's just very basic instincts to understand the importance of democratic rights. So the next week is going to be a fight over who should be elected, but it's also going to be a fight for the very importance of free elections, which I would hope someday that those in the those of us on the left would no longer be debating. So that's my commentary. I turn it over to my brother Damon, who in the introduction forgot to tell people that he's going to be going down to Florida to do voter protection work. And when he gets to the discussion with Sushma, he'll tell you something about that.
So we'll be right back with John McAuliffe right after this break. Welcome back to Voices from the Frontline.